Rabbi Yehuda Glick, it is an absolute pleasure to be speaking with you because other than being a fine gentleman and a rabbi, you also represent one of my favorite organizations, which is an organization that I have the pleasure to even be part of. But let me preface by saying that my good friend Zev Orenstein has a sukkah in in Ma'ale Adumim. I live in Beit El, he lives in Ma'ale Adumim. And his sukkah faces from his balcony to Yerushalayim. He took one of the Temple Institute big banners that they made for Sukkot and put it inside his sukkah. And the direction of the Temple Mount was represented now by the Temple Institute Temple Mount big poster that you guys made. And the reason I tell this thing is because the point of the Temple Institute, as I understand it, is to bring a consciousness. You guys are consciousness warriors. And the consciousness that you've brought about is to understand that there is such a thing as a yearning for a temple. And I was here a few minutes ago, this lady asked me, do you guys really believe there's going to be a temple? So you know what, I'll start exactly with that question, Rabbi Yehuda Glick. Do you believe that there's going to be a temple in Jerusalem on that spot over there where the mosque stands now?
Well, today the question is much easier than it was, let's say, 100 years ago. If you would have asked my great-grandfather, do you believe there'll be a Jewish state here in the Middle East, he would have probably said definitely no. And I think just like all the other words of the prophets that came true and rationalized and materialized in front of our eyes, we can definitely be sure that the promise of Isaiah and all the other prophets will definitely become true. And I can tell you that today it's much closer than ever been before, because today we have already prepared the 70 of the different vessels, and we have more and more people studying and understanding the need of a temple. And so
let's take a pause for a second and ask what you mean by preparing the vessels. That's a pretty loaded statement. What do you mean by that?
Well, the Temple Institute, which is deeply involved in the research of the temple and trying to bring the awareness of the temple to people's hearts, we are also actually practically preparing vessels in their actual size, the authentic material of gold, of silver, and of copper, ready to be used. So we have presently 70 of the 90 different vessels of the temple in their actual size, ready to be used.
70 of the 90, you're missing 20. What's that about?
Well, some of them are...
Let's talk about what has not been done.
What has not
right?
been done.
Of course, because that's what this conference is about, right?
Okay. Look, well, besides those that have not been done, we also, several of the different vessels that we have already prepared, we need several more copies of, so we only have one or two of something that we need 100 of, but we have the minimum needed. Some of the vessels that we need have to be built on board. I would say have to be built, the major altar. It has to be built on the Temple Mount.
Right.
Or the Ark of Covenant, which we believe traditionally will be located somewhere under the Temple Mount.
So you're not looking to build that, you're looking to find that.
We're hoping to find that, because majorly the holiness of the Ark, in different than the other vessels, is what's inside of it. And what's inside the Ark is the tablets, which we cannot write. But majorly, the idea of the golden menorah, which is the symbol of the Jewish people ever since, is standing already opposite the Temple Mount, on its way back, waiting for a Yehuda Maccabee to just say, guys, what are you waiting for? Let's go and begin. And we definitely believe that the Third Temple will be a house of prayer for all nations. We definitely believe that the world is lacking a major heart by the fact that we don't have the Holy Temple in its place.
Now, I'm going to release a bombshell on you. I know a secret, and it's a big secret, and it's a secret that many people in the world do not know. Are you ready, Rabbi?
I'm listening.
I found in a very famous book called the Sefer Chinuch, which is the book of education, which is about the mitzvot, the commandments on every Torah portion, all the 613 commandments. When I looked up the commandment about building a temple, it said that commandment would become active, biblically mandated, when a majority, it said the word rov, a majority of Jews will live in the land of Israel. Now, the reason that's such a bombshell is because it flies so much in the face of what people are saying, well, I'll come when the temple is built, I'll come when the Messiah comes. It's saying, no, you come first, and that's what's going to build the temple. What do you think about that?
Well, actually, there's the origin of the fact that the building of the temple is a mitzvah is not only in the Sefer Chinuch, it's every one of the rabbinical authorities, Maimonides, Rav Sadia Gaon, and all of them, until the very last one, count the mitzvah of building the Beit HaMikdash as a mitzvah way before Mashiach will have to come. There's a specific Gemara that says we in the Tefillah, in the Davening, we mention Beit HaMikdash before we mention Mashiach, because Beit HaMikdash is before. Of course, whatever we don't accomplish, Mashiach will have to complete. But the mitzvah of building the Beit HaMikdash, not only the mitzvah of building Beit HaMikdash, a third of the 613 mitzvot are dependent on a Beit HaMikdash, and we are actually missing a majority of what we're doing. So many of the mitzvot we do today are like replicates, but not the real thing.
Okay, so this is all good, and you've got this vision of a Jewish temple in Jerusalem, but I'm a non-Jew now, okay? And I'm living out there in Tennessee, and I hear Rabbi Yehuda Glick talking to me about building a third temple, and you got these vestments, and you've got these tools and all kinds of things prepared. I mean, what does that have to do with me? What does that have to do with my faith? And moreover, I'm thinking you're not being too realistic, because there's a whole Muslim thing blocking your supposed temple.
As I said before, everything we do is based on the words of the prophets. And read Isaiah 60, read Isaiah 2, read Zechariah 6, or several different places. The third temple will be a house of prayer for all the nations. It will be built by all the nations. And I want to tell you that majority of the people going into the Temple Institute's website every single day, we have over 3,000 people visiting, majority of them are actually non-Jews. Because the world, I'd say more than that, if the Muslims would understand what a great thing the Holy Temple would be for them, they would be on their knees begging us to build a temple. And we feel that bringing back the temple will make the world into a much more spiritual world, a much better world to live in. And we're sure that it will be a world with much more love, much more peace, much more friendship, but also a much more spiritual world, a world where God is in the center and His sanctuary, which He has commanded us to build, will be in the center of all the striving of mankind.
And what about all the things that... So the Muslims will accept it, but why right now does it seem like they don't want to accept it? Why does it seem right now like it's the farthest thing from reality? Is that part of the temple process?
Look, I can predict anything, almost anything in the world. I can predict anything, except for one thing, the future. God has His ways. We have to do what we are commanded to do. We will try to do what we are commanded to do, and we are sure, just like most of the words of the prophets have already materialized in front of our eyes, this too will be part of what we say. We see an unbelievable phenomenon, how non-Jews around the world, 100 years ago I would have said it would be sound impossible. Today, many, many non-Jews around the world are searching for the Holy Temple as a light to all the nations, to light to all the peoples, and this is definitely a way which a process which is not going to happen in one day, but it will take time, and we are getting towards that goal.
I want to thank you very much, Rabbi Yehuda Glick. I want to tell you that we learn the Torah every Sabbath. We learn the Torah throughout the week, and we get to these Torah portions that give us these directions, these blueprints. And you know what? The majority of us, those of us who are more poets than mathematicians, you know, more humanities than sciences, we read those things and our eyes start to turn in the back of our head and we think to ourselves, I give out, when can we get back to story time? But you know, the truth is, with your work at the Temple Institute, Rabbi Yehuda Glick, it is becoming more and more something that we're connecting to. And because we connected more, we yearn for it more.
Well, I'm very happy you said that. Thank you very much, Yishai. And really, we hear that many people, 100,000 people who visit our campus here in Jerusalem, people who read our books, people who visit our website, see and understand more essence of the idea of the temple and its importance for mankind. And I'm very happy we made major progress in the first 20 years of our existence. I say 60 years ago, the State of Israel was established. 40 years ago, Jerusalem was reunified. 20 years ago, the Temple Institute was developed. 20 years has passed by now, and now we're ready for the next stage, and we hope that we're on our way towards the rebuilding of Jerusalem as a message to all mankind.